morning. Let's turn to the Old Testament minor prophet, the book of Amos, if you will. Amos chapter 3. While you're turning there, just a couple of things. One is, I'm grateful that I almost made it through that song without forgetting the words. But I did mess it up on the second verse. So if you were listening there and you thought, those words don't make sense, that's because I made some of them up, all right? That's what it is, you know. It's this way. I could be at home and I could sing that song 100 times. But I get up here and the pressure's on. And I let the pressure get to me, you know. So anyway, it wasn't too bad, everything considered. By the way, do you feel better in service this morning than you did last Sunday? Do you? Temperature's better, right? I just want to ask you, is it $4,500 worth of better? Because that's how much it's cost, all right? That's how much it costs. Had to put in a new air conditioning unit, and a brand new one. And so I'm glad it was able to get in. They put it in yesterday morning, and so we got the bill. We'll send it home. So if any of you got any spare cash laying around and you've been trying to figure out where you were going to invest it, all right? Well, I got a suggestion for you. But anyway, I think it feels better too, you know. If you think it felt bad last Sunday, you should have been here Wednesday night. Because we forgot to turn it on. We being myself and Brother Dunbar, we've got so dependent upon Brother Kelly, he always turns the... He turns all the air on for us on Wednesday. He comes up and he turns it on. And man, I knew he had surgery that day. But I thought surely he's not going to let knee surgery prevent him. No, I knew he wasn't. But I just didn't think about it. And fortunately, my wife, she called me about 4:00 and she said, "Have you turned the air on?" I said, "No, that's Brother Kelly's job." So I ran up here and turned it on at 4:00 and. Right after I called Brother Dunbar and said, "You didn't by any chance remember?" And he said, "No." So he's younger. He's supposed to remember these things. So anyway, it was a little bit late getting it on, so it was kind of warm Wednesday night. But it's nice in here today, and I'll try to heat it up as I preach, all right? Amos chapter 3, if you will. Just one verse I want you to look at. Verse 3, the Bible says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Listen, there are all kinds of relationships that exist between individuals today, all right? All kinds of, relationships. Some are very temporary. Some are one time even, you know, just a one-time shot. Some exist for a short while. Some are designed to last forever, all right? But they don't all require a lot of agreement. For instance, if it's just a one-time thing, relationship, very short, you don't have to agree very much. For instance, if you're buying or selling something, you don't have to have a long-term agreement with that person. You've just got to agree on basically on the price or the terms, right? And if you agree on that, that's good enough, right? That's good enough. That's the end of it. Maybe an employer, an employee, the agreement that needs to be there, you just have to agree on the hour, the wages, and the work that's involved, okay? Most people today want no work, no hours, and high wages, all right? And if we can get that, we'll be fine, you know? But, hey, it's just those agreements. So, like I said, every agreement, and some of them are just for a moment. But the Scripture says if two are going to walk together. Hey, we're talking about more time. You're going to walk together. And the idea is a long-term relationship. Then agreement is needed if that journey is going to last very long. There has to be long-term agreement. The situation here in the Scriptures was the Israelites had quit agreeing with God. Basically what it boils down to. They had quit agreeing with God. They could no longer walk with Him, and therefore they could no longer enjoy His blessing. because there was no agreement. You know, the same thing happens to people in our day. Agreement's necessary, but it's lost, and a lot of suffering is the result. So would you look at that with me this morning? Would you consider that? Can two walk together? Now, I want you to consider these situations, all right? Take your Bible here, and let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, because there's a verse there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that applies to these different situations. And I just want you to have your Bible open there, and we'll look at this verse. But consider these situations with me, if you would. Consider the situation of marriage and family. Marriage and family. Notice what 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Hey, if we're talking about marriage and we're talking about family, the Bible's plain. Don't yoke up with an unbeliever. It is dead wrong if you're a child of God for you to marry somebody who's lost. Completely wrong. Boy, you want to have misery, you want to have heartache, do that. Do that. I'll never forget sitting in my office, and I had a young lady call me, a young lady. I'd known her for years. She started riding my bus. I was a bus captain, and she was about that high probably, and rode my bus for years and years, and I knew her family, and hadn't seen her in a long time, though, and she called me up, and she said, I want to get married, and I want to know if you'll marry us. And I said, well, y'all come by, come see me. She came in and her intended, if you will, and they sat down in the office back there and we began to talk. And so as I began to talk to them about some things, one of the first things I always talk about is their relationship with the Lord. And I'll broach it. I knew her and I didn't know him. So I said, hey, where do you go to church? And he said this. He said, I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I'll never forget her looking at him and saying, you are? And immediately I thought, this is headed the wrong direction. Man, this is headed the wrong direction. Hey, I wasn't about to marry those two people. Wasn't about. And that didn't mean I didn't love her. I did. I loved that young lady. I've known her for years. Loved her then. By the way, still love her now, okay? But I wasn't going to marry her to a fella who was an unbeliever. You say, preacher, they're Christian. No, they aren't. I'll tell you what, the Mormon church is not Christian. They do not serve, they don't even talk about the same Jesus you and I do. The Jesus they talk about, it was the brother of Satan. Lucifer and Jesus, according to them, were brothers. Now, I don't believe that. The Bible doesn't teach that. So, hey, I wasn't going to do that. Hey, the Bible says you need to consider that situation. Can two walk together when it comes to family, when it comes to marriage? Not unless they're in agreement. Can't do it. Can't do it. Hey, well, what about friendship and fellowship? Look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Look at the next phrase. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. You and I, if we're going to have friendship, we're going to have real fellowship, there has to be agreement. There has to be agreement. Man, we just have to agree. You say, well, what do we have to agree on? Hang in, we're going to get there if you'll wait just a little bit, all right? Has to be agreement. People can't understand. I've had folks call me. I'd be here at the office and somebody would call and said, look, we're having this ecumenical gathering. We're going to gather together for this. And they couldn't understand why I said, I can't participate. Can't participate. You say, preacher, why are you so disagreeable? Well, because two can't walk together unless they be agreed. They just can't do it. There's no fellowship between righteousness and unrighteousness. I'm not going to yoke up with folks that are unbelievers, all right? Just not going to do that. You say, well, they're Christians. Maybe. Maybe not. Listen, I'm not yoking up with somebody that says you got to be baptized to be saved. I'm not yoking up with somebody that says it doesn't, the virgin birth doesn't matter. We're not yoking up with folks like that, all right? Just not going to do it. Why? Because two can't walk together unless they be agreed. when it comes to friendship or fellowship. My friends, my good friends, are going to be born again. Going to be born again, all right? Just going to be that way. There's why? Because there's no fellowship between righteousness and unrighteousness. Cannot be that way. Now, I've got acquaintances, but it's not friendship. Why? Because they can't walk together unless they be agreed. Not only that, what about in faith and in ministry? Look at the last phrase of verse 14, would you? What communion hath light with darkness? What communion hath light with darkness? Ah, listen, we just can't agree. We just can't agree. I can't walk together with somebody that doesn't agree, all right, with the Word of God. This man, when it comes to ministry, can't do it. When it comes to faith, no. Hey, we're not going to have just anybody come stand behind this pulpit and preach to you. They're just not going to do that, all right? They're going to have to agree. If there's not agreement, there's no walking together. And just need to consider those situations. You said, well, exactly what do you mean agree on? Well, let's confirm those specifics, would you? We'll just confirm those specifics. There are some things that we absolutely must agree on if we're going to walk with God. We're going to have to agree on. By the way, I believe this. I believe the same things. I have to agree on. We're going to keep our marriage together. You're going to keep your marriage together. If you're going to enjoy long-lasting fellowship, long-lasting friendships, there's some specific things we need to agree on. He said, well, yeah, if we're going to keep marriage together, who's going to do the cooking? No, that's not it. That's not it. Who's going to whip the kids? No, that's not it either. You say, what do we have to agree on? First of all, you got to agree on the Bible. You got to agree on the Bible. You said, what do you mean by that? Well, you need to agree as to what it is. What is the Bible? You say, well, preacher, what is it? I'll tell you what it is. It is the inerrant, inspired, infallible, eternal Word of the living God. That's what it is. And if you believe anything less than that, then we can't agree, all right? We can't agree. Hey, I'd have a hard time being married to somebody that didn't believe the Bible was the absolute, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I'd have a hard time with that, all right? Anything less, we can't agree on it. Hey, we can't walk with God if there's any less thought about it. What in the world is the Bible? It's not a book of suggestions. It's not just something put out there. It's not just some good stories. It's just not a collection of quaint sayings. No, it's the absolute, infallible, inerrant, eternal Word of God. That's what it is. It's the inspired Word of God. God put it together. It's that one, all right? Not only what it is, but where is it? It's right here. You say, well, preacher, of course it is. Everybody believes that. No, they don't. No, they don't. Hey, there's folks that are hanging around in the Christian realm today that do not believe that that book you have in your lap is the absolute, inspired, infallible, inerrant, eternal Word of God. They believe you've just got the best translation. Or actually, the folks that believe that just believe you have a translation. Not the best. Not the best. There's a big difference. Hey, listen. I'm convinced that God, who was great enough to inspire this book, was great enough to preserve it. Great enough to preserve it. And I believe, well, I've got a copy of it right here. Man, I believe this book right here is the Word of God in English for the English-speaking people. I believe it with all that's within me. I do not believe that the Word of God is in some museum somewhere in some manuscript in Hebrew or Greek. I don't believe that. Don't believe that. I don't believe it's locked up in or actually in an accumulation of manuscripts. I don't believe that. I believe we've got it right here. I believe I've got a copy of it, all right? I don't believe the Word of God is simply the property of the scholars, all right? It's not simply the property of the scholars, those who are, you know, have studied for years and they can read Greek and they can read Hebrew. I don't believe you have to do that to have the Word of God and to get it and understand it. You've got it right there in this old King James Bible. You've got a copy of it. That's what it is, and that's where it is right here. And if you're going to walk together with God, you've got to have that in agreement. you're going to have that agreement. Hey, I believe you need that agreement if you're going to walk together, husband and wife. Because this old book tells you how to conduct your marriage. This book tells you, hey, dad. This book tells you how to be a dad. This book tells you how to be a husband. It tells you how to be a husband. Ladies, it's this book right here tells you how to be a wife. This book right here tells you how to be a mother. Now, you may read it and not like what it says, but if you'll do what it says, it'll help you preserve your marriage. It'll help you preserve your marriage. Tell you how to raise your kids. Now, I guarantee you, young people, kids, there's things in here you ain't going to like. There was things in there I didn't like when I was a kid. Man, I thought, come on, there's got to be a better way to do this. No, there's a right way. God's way is the right way. Hey, listen, can two walk together except they be agreed on the Bible? How do you have friendship for years and fellowship for years and years and you don't agree? Now, by the way, I believe you can have friendship and fellowship for years and years if you agree that the Bible's not what I said it was, as long as the other person believes it too. That's why two atheists can get together and enjoy their ignorance together. I'm going to tell you, if you want a relationship with God, you better have agreement on what the Bible is. Hey, it's not only agreement on the Bible, but you need to have an agreement on the blood. On the blood. You said, what blood? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, you better have it right. It's a necessity. It is a necessity. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no forgiveness of sins. None whatsoever. It's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within. From the highest stars in heaven to the depths of the sea. It's still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. Don't tell you, you got to have that blood. You got to have that blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is an absolute necessity. You can't do without it. Hey, without it, you and I split hell wide open. Don't care who you are. Don't care how good you live. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. That's why in the Old Testament, God taught those Hebrew people to take a lamb. And to take that, by the way, a spotless lamb, and take that lamb and sacrifice it and take its blood and use that blood as a sacrifice. That's why back yonder in the days of the Exodus, God told Moses, he said, hey, the death angel's coming by. And he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. But that blood had to be applied. No blood, then the death angel struck in that home. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying to you there's an absolute necessity of the blood, and it's an absolute necessity that there's agreement on that blood if we're going to walk with God. We're going to walk with Him. Not only agreement on the necessity, but its efficaciousness. He said, what in the world does that mean? Take your Bible to 1 John chapter 1, would you? There, you know, I like for you to know I went to college and I learned some big words, okay? 1 John chapter 1, if you will, look at verse 7 with me, all right? This blood is efficacious. Efficacious. Notice verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from, now what's the next word? All right. All. Y'all got that? Three-letter word. All sin. You say, what does it mean to be efficacious? That means it'll take care of all sin. It'll take care of all sin. Hey, it's not part of it. It's not some of it. It's not most of it. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Hey, folks, that's why we as Bible believers do not believe that when you die, you're going to purgatory. Because we believe that blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us from all sin. From all sin. Hey, that day I trusted Jesus Christ as a 9-year-old boy, and I called upon Him and trusted Him to save my soul, hey, the blood was applied, and all my sin was forgiven. All of it. You said, man, what you do perfect sense in? No, but all my sins under the blood. All of it. What I had done and everything I've done since then, under the blood. That blood of Jesus Christ is efficacious. It cleanses us from all sin. You're not going to have to pay for part of it. You're not going to have to pay for part of it. Now, I'm not mad at somebody, but I'm just telling you, that doctrine's not biblical. It's not scriptural. That it wasn't sufficient to pay for all of your sin. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. There needs to be agreement. Hey, if you're going to walk with God, you got to have an agreement on the blood. The blood. By the way, not only is it sufficient for all sin, but it's sufficient for all sinners. For all sinners. I believe it with all my heart. That blood's not in short supply. There's no shortage. We're dealing with shortages today. We're dealing with manufactured shortages, all right? We're dealing with shortages because people panic. And they run out and buy everything in the store. We go, you know, and we got to buy it all, and it's not there, and we can't get it today. I'm going to tell you, the blood, it's sufficient. It's sufficient for you. It's sufficient for every one of you sitting here in this auditorium. It's sufficient for anybody that'll listen and watch on YouTube. But I got news for you. It's sufficient for every person that's ever been on the face of this earth. That blood was shed, and it was sufficient to cover the sin of the whole world. Man, it's sufficient. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's got to be agreement. There's got to be agreement on the book and the blood. I'll tell you something else there's got to be agreement on. Now, the saying is the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. But I don't think that. It's the book, the blood, and the boss, all right? We've got to have an agreement on who's the boss. We've got to have an agreement on authority. Authority. Listen, you get in a marriage, you got to have an agreement on who's going to be the authority. Well, we're going to share. That's what we're doing now in the Senate and the House of Representatives. Ain't it working good? No, it's not working worth a flip. Because one group says, you guys are wrong. The other group says, nope, it's not us, it's you. Say, preacher, who do you agree with? Both of them, they're both wrong, all right? None of them do what they ought to do, all right? They're both wrong. Hey, we don't agree because there's no authority. We don't agree on who the authority is. We don't, and there has to be agreement on authority. Either, hey, by the way, either you're in charge of your life or something or someone else is. There's got to be an authority in your life, or you have to be the authority. Now, if you're going to walk with God, you got to realize the authority. Just so you'll understand, it ain't you, all right? It's not you. It's just not you. We're going to walk together. We've got to agree on who the authority is. We used to, in the Christian school, our gym leaked real bad. You said, preacher, I didn't know you had a gym. We do. It doesn't have a top. Now, and it leaks real bad, all right? So a lot of times, man, it would have rained and rained, and we just couldn't do anything for PE, but the kids were tired of sitting in class, and I was tired of sitting in class with them, be honest with you. And so I'd say, all right, let's go. We're going to take a walk. And so we'd take off, and we'd be walking, you know, around the neighborhood, down around the school, on the sidewalks there. And there's always kids in school that want to be out front. And so I would let them get out front. Matter of fact, I would purposely slow down so they would get a little further out front. And then as they were far enough out front, I'd turn. So they'd look around and go, oh, they'd have to turn around and come out and catch up. Because, you see, they thought they were leading. Well, they weren't. I was. All right? I was. Now, hey, listen, in your life, who's the authority? In your life, who's the authority? Well, preacher, I'm do what I want to do. Go ahead. But don't be surprised if things don't work out real good. Just don't be surprised if things don't work out real good. I'm going to do what I want to do, and that's it. Most people, that's them. They want to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, and they're determined to do it their way. Well, you need an authority in your life, and the truth of the matter is that authority ought to be God. And by the way, husbands and wives, the authority in your home ought to be God. Ought to be God. Ought to be God. The authority in this church is the Lord. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head, all right? He's the head. The Word of God is our authority. What we do, checking what Jesus said we're to do. Hey, if there's going to be agreement, there's got to be agreement on who the boss is. Our authority's got to be right, and our allegiance to that authority has to be right. All my allegiance is to go to God who created me. All my allegiance. He's above all else. Above all else. The Bible says in everything he's to have the preeminence. In everything he's to have the preeminence. You say, well, that just means in your spiritual life. No, it doesn't. It means in everything. In everything. He's to have the preeminence. He's to have the preeminence in this church. He's to have the preeminence in your home. He's to have the preeminence in my personal life. I'm not to do anything without consulting him. You say, preacher, come on. No, I'm saying to you, come on. Ever thought about seeing what he thinks? Lord, what would thou have me to do? There's a fellow in the Bible said that. He turned out to be real successful because he consulted with the Lord. What do you want me to do? My business dealings, my marriage, my friendships, my faith. Boy, you pick it. He's to have the preeminence. I'm owing my allegiance to him. To him. I am so thankful that in all of this kneeling business going on in the pro sports world, there was one fella that's a pitcher for the San Francisco Giants. I had Brother Dunbar look his name up for me. I couldn't remember his name. It's Sam Coonrod. Pitches for the San Francisco Giants. Saw a picture, and I'd heard about him. Just couldn't remember his name. And all the teams, both teams, before the game, kneeled, and there's one fella standing up. But it's not that he's standing up. It's the reason he's standing that thrills my soul. He said, I only kneel to the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! If we'd all feel that way, wouldn't it make a difference? That's my allegiance. It's to him. It's to him. Hey, if there's going to be agreement, can two walk together? Not unless there's agreement. There needs to be agreement on the book, the blood, and the boss, all right? Needs to be agreement on that. Now, I just want to challenge you for just a few minutes. I want you to confound the spectators, would you? See, the world is filled with spectators. Look, I think it's Hebrews chapter 12. Would you look there with me? Yeah, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Would you look there? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I want you to look at this verse real quickly, if you would. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Oh, we're surrounded by witnesses. I believe the Bible here is talking about folks in heaven, all right? But I want to talk to you about the folks here on earth. Look, people are watching. People are watching. People are watching. And there's a lot of doubters today. You see, there's a lot of people that doubt Christianity. There's a lot of people that doubt Christians. They think, man, y'all are fakes. And they're really hoping you won't succeed in life. They're hoping you won't succeed in life. I've heard of people that when they got married, there's some family members hoped the marriage failed, not me. I always want marriages to succeed. If you're going to marry, I want it to be a success. But it won't be if you don't do it right, okay? If you don't do it right. But I want it to succeed. The world's filled with people that are doubters, and they need to be convinced. We need to confound that crowd that says, man, there's nothing to Christianity. Hey, they've seen too much that's fake. They've seen it out there. Why don't you do something to confound that bunch? You say, well, what am I going to do? Well, hey, let's decide. Two can't walk together unless they be agreed. That means you have to make a decision. And what it means, you're going to have to conquer your own spirit. You're going to have to conquer your own spirit. Now, you have your Bible, all right? We're going to look at three verses. We're in Hebrews. Let's go to the book right in front of Hebrews. Nope, right after Hebrews. Pardon me, I don't know what my Bible is laid out, all right? Right after the book of Hebrews is the book of James. Look in James chapter 4. We're going to look at three verses of Scripture. James chapter 4, verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You got that? All right, now don't forget it. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Draw nigh to God. You with me? All right, let's go back now towards the front of your Bible. Let's go to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. If you get to Galatians, you've gone too far. All right? So back to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, I want you to look at verse 3. Philippians 2, verse 3. Here's the Bible. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. All right, now can I just let you digest that for a moment? Let each esteem other better than themselves. Preacher, you saying to me that I'm supposed to look over there at that person over... Yep, that's the one. And esteem them better than yourself. All right? Now, remember, wait a minute. Don't forget what we found over in James. We're going to submit ourselves to God. We're going to draw nigh to him. We're going to resist the devil. You're going to have to do all three of those to be able to esteem others better than yourself. Because most of us like to go around, we nearly break our arm patting ourselves on the back. Woo! I'm wonderful! Well, the Bible said, let each esteem other better than themselves. You with me? Now, hold on to that thought. Now, let's go to the book of Ephesians, right in front of Philippians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5. Here we go. Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Then verse 22, specific instructions for the wife. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. All right, now here we are. You with me? Well, we're over there in James. James says we're to submit ourselves to God. We're to resist the devil. We're to draw nigh to God. Philippians says we're to esteem others better than themselves. And Ephesians says we're to submit ourselves one to another, specifically in the marriage relationship. All right, you with me? Listen, if you'll do those three things, if you'll put some effort into doing those things, it'll help you conquer your spirit. And the reason I say that is because your spirit's like my spirit. It wants to take control and run the show. Hey, you know what? Little kids are that way. I had the grandkids over at the house, three of them, Lance's kids. And one of them, I'm not going to name the one, because I don't want y'all to think bad about my darling grandkids. One of them, my wife was saying something to him, and that one turned around and said, "She's my sister, I don't..." Oh, that was the wrong thing to say. It was, "I don't have to listen to you because she's my sister, and I can do what..." No, you can't. No, you can't. He said, "What's wrong with that kid?" Same thing's wrong with you. It's our spirit. We don't like somebody telling us what to do. Hey, there's a little bit of that in you when you come to preaching. And the preacher preaches and he gets on something strong and people, the hair on your neck begins to stand up, all right? Because you begin to resent the preaching of the Word of God. You begin to say, "I don't like that. Who do you think you are?" I'm telling you what I am. I'm a preacher of the Word of God. And I'm responsible to Him to preach you the whole counsel of God. Hey, I could take you to a verse that talks about submitting yourselves to those that are in authority over you and it's specifically talking about the relationship of the pastor and the people. But I decided I'd just give you three things to choke on this morning, all right? We wouldn't go to the fourth one. Hey, you've got to get that spirit conquered. Remember what we're talking about? Can two walk together except they be agreed? I see people see this young man and this young lady, and they're just looking at one another. They dig their toe in the ground, you know, and they'll talk to each other. And man, there are stars in their eyes, and they're in love. And preacher, would you marry us? We're just so in love. And I say to them, and I ask them, look, what would you like to change about him? And then what would you like to change about her? Oh, nothing. They're perfect. You ain't married yet, buddy. They're not perfect either. But it's okay, neither are you. Neither are you. Hey, listen, the only way your marriage survives, you got to, first of all, conquer your own spirit. Hey, can I take you back there to Ephesians where, yeah, it does say, and there's a lot of men. There's a lot of men that love Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourself. You do what I say, woman. Wait a minute. That's really not what it says, okay? But we're not interested in verse 21, where it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In the fear of God. Listen, you want to walk together and have a successful marriage, then you got to have some agreement. You'll never have that agreement unless you conquer your spirit. See, we can't even agree with the Word of God when the Bible says it is the infallible, inerrant, inspired, eternal Word of God until we conquer our spirit and willing to admit it's got a right to tell me what to do. And where it says I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And what it says I'm to do, I'm to do it. Well, I don't like it. Doesn't matter. Were to do it. But you'll never do that until you conquer your own spirit. You with me? Won't happen. Won't happen. Just won't happen. You'll never have a successful marriage until you conquer your own spirit. You'll never have the relationship with God that He would like to have with you until you conquer your own spirit. Until you're willing to come to Him and say, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Never have it. You won't walk together. You won't know what it is. You say, how is it that person over there seems to be so happy serving God and walking with God, and they've been that way for years and years and years? Why? One reason, they conquered their own spirit, and they were willing to say, Lord, you're the authority. My allegiance is to you. I'll let you take control. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Not until you conquer your own spirit. I won't ask you, how's your walking going? There's a lot of people find themselves by themselves. And the reason is the one that they see in the mirror every day. It's them. Don't blame God. Don't blame God. Hey, don't blame your spouse. Don't blame them. There's an old song that says, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. That's it. That's it. Hey, can two walk together except they be agreed? No. So how hard are you seeking for agreement? How hard are you seeking for agreement? Are you willing to conquer your own spirit? Did you do it? Is that what needs to be done this morning? Hey, I'll tell you this. You'll never do it unless you've been born again. I guarantee you the natural man, the man that's lost without Jesus Christ, never conquer his own spirit. Can't do it. Need to be born again. Christian, you can't conquer your own spirit unless you decide to try. So how's it going? Heavenly Father, I pray now you'd help us today. Help us to see ourselves we really are. Lord, help us to admit the truth. Be honest with you. Lord, I want a relationship with you. I want to walk with you. And Lord, I believe most of these folks right here do too. I do believe the ones that are married want a good marriage. And others that one day hope to be married, they want a good marriage. Well, Lord, help them realize that'll never do it. Never happen until we conquer our own spirit. Lord, help us there. Lord, if we need to come, help us to humble ourselves, come to the altar today and deal with our sin. Lord, if there's one here that's lost, help them to come and be saved today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand this morning? Listen, you know what your need is today. If you need to be born again, then the altar's open. Hey, if you need to be born again, I'll meet you right here at the front. Meet you right here, and you say, you come and say, preacher, I need to trust Christ. We'll have somebody take the Bible and show you what the Bible says. Christian, you're here, and the problem's your spirit. Why don't you do something about it this morning? How about come and surrender it to Him? Would you do it while we sing? You come while we sing.
Just as I am.